As you have probably recognized, in this year 2017, we're calling a year of engagement. We have had a different theme every month, a theme of what God is calling us to focus on, to direct our sights toward in the month ahead. And I have challenged us to do certain things in response to that theme. You may recall that January was our month of focusing on engaging with one another, particularly in love. We had a challenge toward hospitality, toward sharing meals with one another and getting to know one another in a greater way. You may recall that last month in March was a month we focused really on disengagement, on disengaging from the world, disengaging from our flesh, disengaging from the devil. How do we live in such a way toward engaging with one another and with God? Well, we must disengage from the world. You remember in February, we focused on engaging with missions, engaging on the spread of the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world. Well, this month we have a new theme that we're going to be focusing on, and I'm going to be challenging us toward in these messages over the next few weeks. And there's really a scripture verse that is encapsulates this theme that I want to be our theme verse for this month. And it's in Psalm 34. It's not our message this morning, but I want to preview our message by noting this verse. Psalm 34 in verse 8 says, "O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him." You see, the Christian life is not simply about what you intellectually believe. The Christian life is what you experience. If I were to come before you with a pint of Häagen-Dazs ice cream, and I were to say, "Do you believe that this tastes good?" Any of you who have had Häagen-Dazs ice cream would say, "Amen, yes, I believe that it tastes good." And yet, you would not be experiencing its goodness unless I handed you a spoon and opened the pint and said, "Here, dig in and see for yourself." And what the psalmist is saying here in Psalm 34 is, I don't just want you to look up at God and say, "God, I believe that you taste good." He says, "I want you to experience it. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." And what I want to challenge us to this month, and it is going to be the theme of our month, is going to be engaging with God. And I don't just mean engaging with God in a kind of sentimentalized way. I mean in an experiential way. What does it mean for you to experience God? Because that is what Christianity is all about. And this is eternal life, Jesus says, that they might know the knowledge of experience. Know thee, the only God, and his Son, Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. But I'd like you to notice this morning from Psalm 42, a psalmist who writes desperately desiring to taste of God. Notice Psalm 42, what it says, "As the hart," now that's the deer, okay? The deer. "As the deer panteth after the water brooks." Why does a deer pant for the river, for the stream? Someone tell me why. Some of you kids know this. Why would a deer be, have you ever seen a dog? What's the dog looking for? Water. Why does he want water? He's thirsty. Now notice this, notice what the psalmist says. "As the hart," as the deer, "pants after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God." He says, I want a taste. I'm thirsty. Now look at this. "My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" This is someone who desperately wants to experience God, desperately wants to engage with God. He says, "I'm here, I want you, my soul is thirsty for you." Now, friends, let me ask you something. Is that a place that you and I want to be in? Is that a place that you and I want to be in? Now, let me ask you this. Jesus said, "He that cometh to me shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give in him shall be in him a well of water springing up to everlasting life." Now, let me ask you this. This is the one. These are the words not of someone who is experiencing the goodness of God and living in the present reality of his satisfaction and his fulfillment. This is someone who is looking back to a time that he did have that, and he's looking in the present right now and he's saying, "I don't have that, but I want it." This is someone who is not right now experiencing the fullness of God. When the psalmist says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." And we're going to see that there is underlying this emptiness and underlying this spiritual dryness, underlying this spiritual barrenness, there's something that all of us can relate to. It's called discouragement. Now, I want to just say something right up here to make sure I'm talking to people who could really use this message. If you've never been discouraged in your life or never felt down about anything, why don't you just get up and go out and we'll just talk to the people who have been discouraged, okay? No, I'm joking, because of course all of us know what it is to be down. All of us know what it is to be discouraged. All of us know what it is to be stressed. All of us know what it feels like to have an 800-pound gorilla sitting on our chest and saying, "Oh, I'm so uneasy. I'm anxious." This is where the psalmist is. And the psalmist has some very interesting clues under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit for how to deal with ourselves when we're down. How to deal with ourselves when we're discouraged. How to deal with ourselves when we're depressed. How to deal with ourselves when everything is going wrong today and saying, "I'm sick of it. I can't deal with this anymore." And we're going to look at those clues, at those lessons, in a message I'm going to title, "Dealing with Discouragement." Dealing with discouragement. Because I'm going to suggest to you this morning that if you want to experience God in your life, if you want to taste and see that the Lord is good in your life, you've got to deal with discouragement, because that will rob you of that experience. You've got to deal with that spiritual kind of depression that hangs on us and drags us down. The psalmist recognizes and says, "I want to be done with this. I want to be through with this. I want to be experiencing God." Friend, may that be our heart cry. May that be our prayer even this morning. First of all, we need to see the reality of discouragement. The reality of discouragement. This is not a foreign concept. This is not a strange concept, even to the Christian, even to the spiritual Christian. Elijah, one of the great prophets of the Old Testament, one of the greatest workers for all of God throughout history, one of the God used in mighty and powerful ways, was so discouraged at one time that he ran away into the wilderness and told God, "God, just kill me. Just kill me right now. I'm the only one here. They're trying to kill me. It seems like we're just losing. We're done. God, take away my life." That's Elijah, the great prophet. And even more than that kind of discouragement, all of us can identify with a kind of just sadness, of a kind of being just down in the mouth. This is what Paul said: "Without were fightings, within were fears." That's what the Apostle Paul said about himself. Outside there was all this conflict going on. He said, "Do you know what's going on in me? Fear." All of us know what that kind of distress is like. And so we need to grapple with the reality of this discouragement. Notice first of all that for the psalmist, it was an external discouragement. It was an external discouragement. Look at verse 3. "My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God?" Who are these? His enemies. His enemies were outside him, mocking him, taunting him, ridiculing him, saying, "Hey, where's God? He doesn't seem to be doing too much for you now. Why are you doing so poorly? Why are you so sad? Yeah, I guess God's not doing a lot for you, is he?" There was external force on him. If you look over as well at verse 10, look at verse 10 in chapter 42. as with a sword in my bones. How many of you have ever had a sword in your bones? How does that feel? They say that one of the most painful procedures is one where you extract bone marrow from a person. You stick a needle into that person right to their bone, and you extract some. They say it's just excruciatingly painful. So the psalmist says, just like a sword right in my bones. This is what I'm feeling right now. Why? Because mine enemies reproach me while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? Some of you are dealing with external discouragement right now. You're dealing with discouragement that is a result of what people are doing in your life. People are oppressing you. And most importantly, when they're oppressing you for being a Christian, they're saying, hey, come live with us. Come live our way. Come party like us. Come live for the things that we live for. And you say, no, I'm a Christian. I'm sorry, I can't do this. And they say, you goody two-shoes. Who do you think you are? You think you're better than us? You think just because you're not going to run and live like we are, you think you're so much better? You're holier than thou, aren't you? No, the psalmist was dealing with this kind of external form of what led him to discouragement. My tears have been my meat day and night. But notice, secondly, it was also an internal discouragement. There was an internal aspect to this discouragement. It was something that was not just what was going on outside of him, but it was what was going on inside of him. Notice what he says of himself in verse 6. Look at verse 6 with me. Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. That picture there of being cast down literally means to be prostrated. It's like your nose is in the mud. It's like your nose is in the dirt, and you're just groveling in the ground. That's the way you feel inside. All of us have been there, haven't we? We've been there at various times in our life where we're face first on the ground, it feels like inside. We're just in the mud. We're saying, I can't get anywhere. I'm just done. I'm done for. That's discouragement. There is this internal sense that he was just utterly cast down. And then look what else he says. He says, why are you disquieted in me? Disquieted. Do you know what that word means? It means to be shaken up. Have you ever felt at times like your soul was just being shaken by what was going on in your life? You felt anxious, you felt stressed, you felt like your insides were just in a blender getting all churned up. Some of you know exactly what that is. Some of you may have felt that this morning. You woke up like that. You woke up like that last week. You know exactly what it is for your soul just to be in a blender, to be disquieted, to be worked up. This is where the psalmist was. There was an external forces on him. There were internal forces that were on him. But notice that this discouragement was not just external. It was not just internal. But notice that it was vertical. What do I mean by that? He saw something about his relationship with God that wasn't right. And that was the worst of all. He said, oh my God. He says, where are you? Notice what he says here at the end of chapter 42 and in verse number 9. I will say unto God my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? How many times have we been in a situation where we say, God, where are you right now? I'm so discouraged. Everything's going wrong in my life. Externally, internally, I feel all messed up. I feel all in tension. God, where are you? My relationship with you is gone. I don't feel it anymore. Is there any reason, is there any wonder this psalmist was saying at the beginning, as the hart pants after the water brook, so my heart pants after you? Where are you? I'm not tasting and seeing that you're good right now. All I'm stuck with is my own misery. Oh, you look through the Psalms, my friend, and you see the reality of this kind of discouragement. You see the reality, as the psalmist says in Psalm 61, he says, when my heart is overwhelmed within me. Oh, is your heart overwhelmed this morning? Is it prone to being overwhelmed? Is it prone to being cast down and disquieted and turbulent? Well, then identify with the psalmist here, one who loves God. Identify and say, that's me. I'm the one that's in this position. And friend, you're not the only one. We are all tempted to this kind of discouragement. You remember Jesus. Jesus said when he went to the Garden of Gethsemane, he says, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death." My friend, can I encourage you on something? There is not one sorrow in your life that is greater than the sorrow that Jesus Christ faced at that Garden of Gethsemane as he wrestled with the idea that he was going to take your sin on him and be separated from his Father. You have never faced a sorrow that's greater than that sorrow. As the prophet in Lamentations said in a prophecy of Jesus Christ, "All ye that pass by, is there any sorrow like to my sorrow?" Jesus could have sat on that cross and said, "Is there any sorrow like to my sorrow?" And all of us would have had to say, "No, my Lord, there is not." You have not faced anything that Jesus hasn't faced. You are not drinking a cup so bitter that is more bitter than what Jesus drank. You are not facing greater stresses than the stresses that Jesus was under. You are not facing greater pressures than the pressure that Jesus was under. Let that be an encouragement, but let that also be an exhortation. Because Jesus was never discouraged. Jesus was not at one point in his life cast down in the sense of saying, "Lord, where are you?" He was never once in his life at the point of being reduced in his courage, being reduced in his fortitude, being reduced in his strength. Yes, he was weighted down with sorrow and with pressure and with stress. And yet in all of it, he looked up to his Father and with resolve and resilience, he said, "Father, not my will, but thine be done." You see, there's the reality of discouragement, but we have to see, secondly here, the right response to discouragement. What is the response to discouragement of the Christian, the discouragement that all of us face? I remember one of the most significant responses I remember to a discouragement that I went through, a comparably very small kind of discouragement. It was my senior year. I was a tennis player. I was playing in our section tournament. I was playing against one of our arch rival schools, Moundsview High School, and they were playing a very good tennis player. We were in the semifinals of our region individual tournament, trying to go to the individual state tournament. And I played the first set against this player. He's a very good player, and he beat me like 6-3 or something like that. And we got to the second set, and I was down 3-0. And worse than that, I was completely about to give up. I was so mad at myself because I was playing poorly. I was so frustrated. I was so discouraged. I was missing shots I shouldn't. This guy was beating me. It was 3-0, and you know what I was doing? Moping. Sulking, walking around the court like, "Oh yeah, good job, man. Good work. You just missed that one." I was utterly downcast. Well, at the changeover, because you change sides every odd-numbered game, my head coach sent the assistant coach out. He didn't usually do that. He normally came out and talked to me, but I think he knew I needed something else. And this assistant coach came out to me and told me in no uncertain terms, in language I didn't approve of, but in no uncertain terms what I was acting like on that court. How I was playing, how I was representing myself. He let me have it like just about like I've never had someone let me have it before. He got in my face and he just tore me up. And what he said is, "Look at yourself." That was his message. "Look at how you're acting. Is this how you want to go out?" And man, did I wake up. Man, that was something that I just kind of was like, whoa. It was so funny. I went out and won the next 6 games and won the whole second set. It was just like something, a light switch turned on when this guy came up to me and said, "You stop acting like this. You're acting completely inappropriately." Now, you know what's so interesting? What the psalmist says in the face of his discouragement? You want to know what the psalmist says? He gives himself a pep talk. He decides that he needs a wake-up call. And there's 3 parts to this wake-up call. First of all, we need to recognize. The right response is to recognize our discouragement. Friend, don't be blinded to your discouragement. Don't be blinded to when you're down in the dumps. Don't be blinded to when you are feeling oppressed and stressed and under pressure. Don't just say, "All right, I'm going to just keep on marching like nothing's going on." No, the psalmist was the one who stopped and said, "Wait, there's a problem here." You know, Scripture says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. It's a very interesting term that he uses. The term there literally means, let the peace of God referee. Let it be the referee. What does the referee do when there's a foul? Blows the whistle. Hey, stop, there's something going on here. There's a foul that's been committed, an infraction. Stop play. Do you know what the referee does in your heart? When you notice that the peace of God is not ruling in your heart, but discouragement setting in, when fear is setting in, when stress is setting in, when something's setting in that's separating you from your God, the whistle should blow in your heart and say, something's not right. No, I'm not right, God. Something's wrong here. There's something going on. Blow the whistle. You've got to recognize it. You've got to see it. The psalmist saw it. He recognized it. But then notice that he responded, secondly, with resolve. With resolve. Do you know one of the greatest difficulties with discouragement is that it makes us want to wallow. It makes us like a pig in the mire, in the mud, just roll around in it. Our temptation in discouragement is to say, I give up, and do you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go to my bed and pull the covers over my head, and simultaneously while the covers are over my head, I'm going to eat a whole half gallon of ice cream. You know that, right? That is what discouragement wants to make us do. We want to think about our discouragement, we want to chew on our discouragement, and we want to throw a pity party for ourselves. Look, I'm speaking to myself here. I'm not just speaking to you. I'm saying this is what I know. This is how we want to be discouraged. Friend, we can't wallow in discouragement. When the Holy Spirit blows the whistle and says, you're discouraged right now, you're downcast, you're down in the dumps, do you know what you say? That means it's time to fight, not wallow. That means it's time to pull my sword out and go to battle. That means I'm not going to stay in this downcast state. I'm not going to stay in this discouragement. I'm not going to stay in this state. Friends, how many of us go through life so stressed out, so anxious, our souls and minds are just so un-at-ease, and we just sit and wallow in it day after day and never realizing that our fellowship with God is being affected. Never stopping like this psalmist did and saying, Lord, I got a taste of you right now, because all I'm tasting right now is my own bitterness, my own sorrow, my own grief, my own discouragement. No, the psalmist went to war. He went to war with resolve. And friends, do you know how he went to war? You've got to recognize, you've got to resolve, and thirdly, you've got to reprove. You've got to reprove. Now notice, look at this pep talk that he gives himself. Will you notice that with me? Look what he says in verse 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Friends, this is a lecture. This is a pep talk. This is him talking to himself. Do you know it's not so weird in this sense to talk to yourself? Say, oh, anyone who talks to himself is crazy. No, you should talk to yourself like this. You know, when the Holy Spirit blows the whistle in your life and shows that you're discouraged, that you're down, that your relationship with God is being affected as a result, it's time for you to start talking to yourself. Listen to what Martin Lloyd-Jones said. Martin Lloyd-Jones was one of the great preachers of the 20th century. He said this, have you realized that most of your unhappiness is due to the fact that you are listening to yourself instead of talking to yourself? I'm going to read that one more time. Have you realized that most of your unhappiness is due to the fact that you are listening to yourself instead of talking to yourself? The person who is wallowing in discouragement and in depression and in this kind of being down in the dumps is the one who is just listening. The soul is talking and it's telling them your life is so bad. Those people are being so rude to you. They're being so mean to you. And you feel so sad right now. You feel so depressed right now. And you know what? You're just done. You've got nothing to give. And you just sit there and listen to those thoughts stream into your mind. No, friends, don't listen. Start talking. You start talking to your soul, saying, why are you down in the dumps? Why are you discouraged? No, you listen to me, soul. I'm done listening to you. Why are you anxious? Why are you stressed? Why are you letting these thoughts proliferate in your mind? Start talking back. That is what the psalmist did, and it's what all of us should do. Friend, let me ask you right now, where are you right now? Where is your soul right now? Is your soul down in the dumps? Is your soul dealing with this discouragement right now? With this kind of recognition that it's separated from God, but saying, oh, well, I guess this is just my life right now. Friend, I hope that this morning you'll leave with some resolve to say, no, it's not okay that I'm down in the dumps. No, it's not okay that I'm discouraged. No, it's not okay that I'm stressed out. No, it's not okay. No, soul, it's time to get in line. It's time to get on the right track. It's time to pursue after God. So we see here the reality. The reality is that all of us are tempted toward this discouragement. It may be through sin. I know for my life, and I know likely for your life, you know that one of the causes of your discouragement is most often sin, your failure. You say, God, I failed again. Am I ever going to get it right? Am I ever going to live for you the way you want me to? Am I ever going to be able to do what you've called me to do? That's discouragement. It may be, what's going on outside you with your family and your friends and your loved ones and the way you're treating you that's weighing you down. It may be internal, what you're perceiving and what you're seeing. And it may be in your relationship with God, if it's affecting your relationship with God. We all deal with that. The response, what's needed is a pep talk. What's needed is not to give up, to wallow. No, it's to go to war by letting yourself know that this kind of discouragement is not okay. It's not God's plan. No. What is His plan? Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Be thankful for everything. Be giving thanks in everything. You see, that is the response. Third, let's recognize here the remedy. The remedy. Not only does the psalmist give himself a pep talk, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted? Why are you stirred up and stressed within me? What does he say is the remedy? I'm going to give us three verbs that are the remedy for the discouraged heart. Three verbs that are the remedy for the discouraged heart. First of all, remember. Second of all, hope. Third, praise. Remember, hope, praise. First of all, remember. Notice what the psalmist says here in Psalm 42 and in verse, let's see here. In verse 6, he says, oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites and from the hill Mizar. If you want to get out of your discouragement, you have to look back. Now, do you know what discouragement brings you in? As I liked it, as likened it to before, it's like the hall of mirrors at the state fair where only you can see is where you are in the present. My friends are treating me bad today. I'm feeling so discouraged today. My walk with the Lord isn't right today. Today. And if you're going to get over discouragement, if you're going to get past discouragement in life, it's going to take looking back. Looking back to who? God. Friends, do you know God has done wonderful things in your life if you're a Christian? Do you know God brings those things from the past to convince you of what He's going to do for you today and in the future? Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. You know that song? Why do we sing Great is thy faithfulness, looking back into what He's done in the past? Because it proves to us what He's going to do today. It's going to prove that He's greater than our sadnesses today. He's greater than our discouragement today. He's greater than those enemies that are outside oppressing you. He's greater than the forces that are within that are discouraging you. He is above it. And so He says, look back. The psalmist says, I will remember thee. I'll remember when you've been there for me. And when you've come to me. Friend, let me give you an assignment today if you're prone to discouragement. Go home today and start listing off the things that God's done for you in the past. Will you do that? Will you go home today and just start writing down, whether you're a man, just start writing down. Soon, you know what's going to happen? You're going to start forgetting about the present. You're going to start forgetting about all the circumstances of the day because your heart is going to be so grateful for what He's done for you in the past. Remember, I will remember thee, he says, even though I'm separated right now. Remember. But friends, secondly, hope. Hope. Notice what he says. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Read this out loud with me, will you? Verse 42. Hope thou in God. Say it again. Hope thou in God. One more time. Hope thou in God. Hope in God. Now, what does it mean to hope? What does it mean to hope? Well, oftentimes we use that to mean simply wishful thinking. I hope that I'm going to be able to do this. I hope that this job works out. I hope that I'm able to pay for this bill. I hope that I'm able to do that. And it's wishful thinking. That's not hope in the Bible. That's not hope. Hope is looking to the future that's been assured for you. Hope is not looking ahead and saying, oh, I hope this comes to pass. Hope is looking ahead and saying, I know this is going to come to pass. It's based on the promises of God. And do you know what Scripture says in Romans 15? That the Christian is the one who abounds in hope. That's the prayer for every Christian, that you may abound in hope. Is your heart overflowing with hope this morning? If it's not, I've got another assignment for you. After you get done going home today and writing down everything that you can think of that you're grateful for, that God's done for you in the past, start writing on another column of everything that God has promised you for the future. Do you know what you could start with? In the book of 1 Corinthians, when Scripture says, eye hath not seen, neither ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. You want hope? There's a good place to start. What about when Jesus says, if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. He's coming back for you. It doesn't matter how bad your outside circumstances are. It doesn't matter how bad this world is for you. Your home is in heaven. He's got another plan for you. You want to rest yourself on that hope? What about the hope when we're stressed about our provision and about the things that's going on in our life, when Scripture says, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus? That's hope for the future. When Paul says in Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. That's hope that we look ahead to the future and say, that's what I'm going to focus on. I'm going to focus on the future. You see, friend, when you are dealing in discouragement, you're looking only at the present and you're looking only at yourself. You're saying, woe is me. Woe is me, it's not working out right now. And because it's not working out right now, it's not going to work out in the future either. It's not going to work. And the Christian is the one who gets his eyes off himself or herself and off the present and looks to the future and says, I know who God is. He's promised me about what the future is going to be, and I'm going to start looking in that. Oh, friend, may I encourage you, when you're in discouragement, when you're in sadness, to lecture yourself and to say, Peter, hope in God. Peter, start hoping right now. Start looking for promises. Another practical thing. What is that which most leads you into discouragement? Is it your outside circumstances? Is it your failures? Is it something else? You know what it is in your life that most leads you to discouragement. May I encourage you to go home today and find a promise of God that relates to that discouragement? That relates to that thing that you're struggling with? And whenever that discouragement comes back in your life, bring out the sword of the Spirit and say, hope in God, Peter. Hope in God. I'm going to stand on this promise. I'm going to stand in this hope. I'm not going to look at myself. I'm not going to look at my present day circumstances. I'm going to look back and remember how good God's been to me. And then I'm going to look ahead and see what he's promised me for the future. Hope in God. That's our call. But you see, when we look back and remember, and then we look ahead in hope, it makes a difference for our present. What does our present become? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. Why? For I will yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Friends, when you're discouraged, the last thing on your mind is to praise God. When morning gilds the skies, my heart awaking cries, may Jesus Christ be praised. That's the last thing on your and my mind when we're discouraged. But you know, when you look back in remembrance of what God has done, and you look ahead to the promises of God that He has for you in hope, suddenly your heart is liberated in the present to praise Him. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. That's the Christian message. There's a reason that Scripture says giving thanks always for all things. No, you're not doing that when you're discouraged, and I'm not doing that when I'm discouraged. No, it is the one who looks back, the one who looks ahead, that is the one who looks in the present and says, God, I can thank you for this too. I can thank you for what she just said about me. I can thank you for what He just did to me. I can thank you even for where I am right now, because I know that you're bringing me back, that I'm going to get back to where you have me, being confident of this very thing. Paul says that he which hath begun a good work in you, in me, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Oh, friend, you and I serve a God who is so far above and beyond your problems right now, no matter how big they are. So far and above all your sadnesses right now. And won't you listen to the psalmist this morning, who recognizes that he's down in the dumps, that life is going horribly for him right now from a human perspective, that everything is going south, that his soul is all stirred up and worked up, and instead of wallowing, he decides to fight. Instead of just sinking down, he says, no, soul, it's time for a lecture. You hope in God, because I'm yet going to praise Him who is the help of my countenance and my God. Friends, this month we're going to look at what it means to experience God. But whether it's sin that has separated you from Him today, whether it's discouragement that has separated you from Him today, whatever it is that's separating you from God, your soul needs a pep talk today. Your soul needs a message from God. And may that be, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. Let's pray. Oh, Father, may we not look at discouragement as just a weakness. May we not look at discouragement as just something that we'll get through, but Lord, may we see it for what it is, which is sin. May we see it as not allowing the peace of God to rule in our hearts. May we see it for how you see it. And Lord, may we respond. May we recognize it. May we resolve to have victory over it. May we reprove it. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. Lord, I pray for those this morning who are discouraged, who are weighed down with burdens this morning. Oh Lord, some of those burdens are so heavy. And yet at the same time, you have called us to cast our care upon you, for you care for us. Let's pause for a few moments. I want to ask you, with our heads bowed, our eyes closed, perhaps you've never come to Jesus Christ for the first time. Your burden of sin has never been removed. It's weighing you down. You can be saved today. You can experience the great peace that comes through Jesus Christ. Won't you accept Him as your Savior and Lord today? Won't you turn to Him by faith? If that's you, you can slip out from where you're seated and come down to these steps. There's nothing magic here, but someone will take a Bible and show you what the Bible says about how you can be saved. Is there anyone that would come this morning and say, this is what I need? But with our heads bowed and eyes closed, I'm also talking to the Christian this morning. Why don't we call discouragement what it is today?
Why don't we start fighting right now? Do business with God this morning, my friend. Start talking to yourself. Start talking to Him. Start confessing and repenting of that. Wherever you need to do business with God, whether you need to do it at these steps, whether you need to do it in your pew, why don't you do business with God? Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Father, thank you for the peace that Jesus Christ came to offer. May it rule, may it be the referee in each of our hearts to the glory and praise of God.